Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our regular Thursday stream. Today I am joined as usual by our general co-host Evelyn. I'm afraid there's no Trig today. I think he's quite busy and also probably dealing with the horrendous heat here because it is actually 30 degrees, I think, in this room at least.
It would have been that warm here today if it wasn't for the fact that they sprayed fake clouds into the sky at 9 in the morning, but that's a different story.
Yes, it's very, very warm. It's gonna get even warmer.
We'll
For
see
those,
what they're not going to do is they're not going to spray the sky tomorrow so they can claim it's a record temperature day and it'll be like 30 odd degrees, as it would have been the rest of this week had they not been doing that, but.
I'm sorry, Bulwark, in the chat. Trig has real life stuff to do, so he's doing that normie stuff, you know, being a responsible person and focusing on his life. But we're here because we're not normal. No, we have a pretty good topic, I think, today.
Yeah.
We're trying not to just moan about things. So
Yes, we are
a
going to
lot of
have
what.
a productive and also informative conversation, as we always attempt
Yes.
to.
Well, as we always attempt to, yes. We'll probably get sidetracked in some way. But those who don't know, I don't know. I won't patronize people too heavily, but tilting at rainbows is a play on the whole tilting at windmills Don Quixote thing.
Yes, if you couldn't already tell from this masterful thumbnail that you drew up the other day.
I drew it up in like 2 minutes, yes.
Don't kill the art form. Don't tell them how long it takes you.
Yeah, it was that is not my highest effort thumbnail, but it is I don't know. It sometimes the simpler ones are just the best.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that one goes.
I suppose as well, whilst we're getting started, I will say a thank you to all the people who routinely show up for the streams, and even those people who have decided to become members or possibly even donate or give a little super chat, whatever takes you.
Yes, we still are monetized. So if you want to do it the simple way, we have super chats and we have memberships still available. But if you want us to get the most cut, the best way to do that is through a Streamlabs donation. So thank you guys for supporting. We generally have actually pretty consistent revenue throughout the month, which is pretty good. It balances different ways. Yeah, it is a metaphor for basically everyone online too.
I'll
It's a
say,
much wider problem than just what we're talking about.
yeah,
But
is it Goibanyu or whatever in chat's got the wrong idea because he thinks it's MS Paint. It's actually 10,000 hours in Macromedia Fireworks, a cracked copy
yeah,
from like 2009.
it's not actually well, the original version of that, which is lost to time. It used to have no the version used to have no copy protection on our school computers. So for years, what I used was the files I ripped off the school computer when I was in like year 11. Simpler times, simpler times. Oh, apparently we're streaming across from a bunch of people, so there might not be the most people here today. But thank you for joining us and patronizing our stream rather than going elsewhere.
Welcome to the
We'll
cool
try and make
side
it.
of streaming.
Yeah,
The real
welcome.
underground.
We are the real underground. Where that band that everyone says they watched in the 80s when there
Yeah.
would have had to have been like 20,000 people in a pub somewhere.
Well, see, that's why Aron McIntyre does get the name of Our Circle's Phil Collins, but I think he's more of a Frankie Knuckles to our early Kerry Chandler.
Early Kerry Chan. That's such a deep reference. Most people aren't going to get it.
No, that's why I
But
made
we
it though.
should. Shall we just get into this because we have a lot of stuff to cover
Yeah,
here.
I suppose we should. There was
But I
a drag queen story hour event in, is it, was it Idaho? Yeah, Cocoa de
the
Allen,
boys.
Idaho. Yeah, no,
Right.
it's not the only place in Idaho that isn't Des Moines.
All right,
But
sorry,
I
Des
don't
Moines,
know,
yeah.
but like I don't really think there's much point to reading the article because if you're someone that's got your head screwed on, you will understand what's already gone on here, which is that Patriot Front people, whether they are feds or not, we can possibly discuss this later, turned up to an event as if they were going to protest it. However, they also had a U-Haul full of riot gear and smoke grenades, and then proceeded to get the police phoned on them, and then they were all arrested despite having done nothing wrong. None of them resisted arrest. And then latterly, I have now seen people on Telegram claim that the person that phoned the police on Patriot Front was a member of America First, funnily enough, supposedly. So it's all, as I mentioned it the other week, but it is very Putin's Kremlin level political theater. It's like all just a big, it's a big drama. Like I can't understand at what end of any of this you're really meant to take any of it seriously, because your Patriot
I don't know how
Front
you
people,
could.
no, your Patriot Front people, for a first off, what do they expect to have happen as a response to them showing up and protesting this event? I mean, irrespective of what their plans was, who's involved in the group, or who these people actually are, or whatever else. Surely campaigning against one of these events and doing it publicly and doing it in a patriot manner, where you're symbolising yourself, all sorts of different aspects of right-wing politics and ideology. How do they expect that to go well? I mean, what you're going to do it when you do that is you're going to give the lefties the perfect bait that they want, which then allows them to go and write crap like this for The Intercept about how, there is a rampant rise on LGBTQ attacks and this, that, and the next thing. It's like, well, it's not a good look for us. I don't want to be like optics, 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 but
He, yeah.
what does
Well,
this achieve?
it's not an optics thing even. It's well beyond that, and it's much more basic than that. It is a fact of this is what they want from you. This is that you are playing into exactly the part of the dialectic you're supposed to play into. This is bait. It's very simple, and it's a very simple thing that people just can't seem to get their head around. During what has become an appalling month in all quarters, because all you see in the Telegram groups, on the Discords, in all of these places is a furious circle jerk of "I don't like rainbows, I don't like rainbows, look at this, be offended, look at this," and it short circuits what has actually been a relatively, I think, productive conversation in some quarters on lots of different topics, and seeing behind the curtain and not falling for the theatre. Whereas all this stuff, the rainbow stuff, the prize stuff, seems to be purely people just falling for the theatre and taking it as genuine and thinking that the activists are actually in charge and that they need to go out there and combat these low-level, low-rent. This event was tiny. There was like 50 people there, if you looked at the pictures. It was nothing. It was activists and their children and other activists.
Even in this article, they are slowly but surely dropping themes about how, this is all a grassroots conflict and it's all happening at the lower level, and that's why, the temporary legal victories, though, can only be welcomed as short-term reprieves. They are likely to face appeals to higher courts, those bastions of the far right, as if this has anything to do with courts, with activist groups. When, as we'll get into it and see further, that policy has been decided on this stuff years ago, and frankly, it's not pushed by grassroots movements. It's pushed by, as it always is, big NGOs, big legal sort of entities. There is no singular individual head of the snake that is a person or a group that can really be taken down. You have to
No.
think about this as part, as another arm of the disaggregated network of. We looked at woke capital stuff. We looked at green capital. We looked at, the way there is a big lobbying racket essentially for social housing in London. These things all function the same way, and I'm strongly of the belief that no matter how morally left or right these things are justified by, trying to have a political argument or a moral argument over them is a waste of time. I mean, the whole Roe v. Wade thing is. If that's going to show that it's the same case there, and if anything, you need to worry the fact that you're not using morally right arguments at the same time where pretend right wing politicians are using those same arguments to, I don't know, justify big data systems, justify social credit scores, because as we've said and will continue to say until people begin to realize that both wokeism and anti-wokeism will provide the same technocratic solutions.
Yes, I don't want to go into it too much here because we've gone into them a few times. But like I wrote two pieces for the Substack ostensibly about this, one called "Permissible Activism" and one called "Barking at the Headlines." I don't know if we get time at the end. I might actually just read a section from it because it applies to a lot of different things, but it also applies to this. In that you are simply playing your part in the dialectic. You are by treating this as genuine, by treating it as a genuine debate. A lot of people have got better, especially with the climate and green stuff, at not treating it like it is a genuine thing. They see it as a.
I'm gonna ask as well as a prerequisite that we do not laugh at the state of the images of these people who are members of Patriot Front that have been pictured from the event the other week that got arrested. We will not look at them. We will not judge their physiognomy, especially not this one here.
Oh no. There's a lot of yeah. I inch
Again, like.
Oh no. You I hadn't learned you. Oh no.
But
Oh.
when we talked about these states of exception, and we looked at the link between Ruby Ridge, Waco, January 6, all these events that are treated as a right wing insurrection, the way that even during the 2016 campaign, Hillary Clinton calling everyone deplorables and basically suggesting that that a certain subset of society that were deplorables did not deserve civility. The complete and utter
Yes.
kind of political war, shall we say, between, in the most basic form, left and right, or progressive and reactionary, or whatever sort of paradigm you want to look at through, that is then always pulled in through these things. So because Patriot Front have gone and done this stuff, they can now in Jezebel articles talk about Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting where 49 people died and make that related to it.
Yeah, with somebody who was an intelligent asset and was handled with kid gloves and given massively long reel because they were trying to get something out of him. It was very unclear, but he should not have got the security licenses he had.
Because
He shouldn't have been able
I would say
to hold the
this even
positions he did.
mentions, this is one of those ones where it's almost like Game Journal prose. I mean, in the previous article, they mentioned the U-Haul stuff, Patriot Front, blah, 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 blah. And then they go and talk about at the same event in San Francisco where a contingent of 8 men representing themselves as Proud Boys organizations. It's so laughable now. It's like this is the stuff that we've seen these people running around
It's
playing the same game for the last five, six years
boilerplate.
now.
Like
It's.
I guess I said, a lot of people have got a bit better at, it's the current thing is a psyop is not just a meme. Like the current thing is a psyop, and you should whatever narrative is being presented to you should not engage with it, and you should try and look what is above it in the food chain and what the purpose of it is, because none of it is genuine, and treating it as genuine and getting angry about it is exactly what you're
What's,
supposed to do.
I mean, in the most simple sense, it is all political. And this is, I mean, maybe we can, it's not something I want to delve into too much, but, I would assume that the sort of people who write for Jezebel and write for The Intercept care just as much about, quote unquote, the LGBT as much as people at Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire care about, like, the D-trans people. No one cares about anyone in it, really. It's all just about political point scoring at the end of the day and about saying the appropriate thing so that the appropriate NGO money flows through your organisation. Otherwise, you don't make it.
It is. It's something, again, it's so basic. It's so basic that you must understand that this is a top-down phenomenon, like everything. Like everything you've seen, like everything else, like people, people have got better, like I said, at doing it with the environment stuff, but when it comes to the tilting at the rainbows, you get this. And like they are laughing at you. You've let these people not even like the people in power, but the weird like activists they're trotting out to deliberately antagonize you. You've let them live rent free in your head, and instead of doing something that might be worthwhile or learning something or at least mapping the structure of where their money, where their influence, and where their power really comes from, you've fallen for the bait and you've got mad that gay people exist for the 97th time in a day.
Well, see,
And
it's weird as well that people then think you're counter-signalling when, you know, I'll quickly grab some other stuff here. There is perfect valid reasons to hate these people, and it's this stuff. It's the fact that the stress on their website about Drag Queen Story Hour, whether it's in the UK or in the US, if you honestly, you go on their website, one of the first things you will find is a disclaimer about how they engage in background checks for their performers or whatever. But then you have, you know, a Drag Queen Story Library reader exposed as convicted child sex offender. I think, is this the one? Yep, there you go. There's his criminal record there for abusing young children ages 4, 5, 6 and 8. I think this one's from, is this from earlier this year? This is from 2019, actually. There's the other one. This is Judge Brett Blanc.
Oh, no.
County judge. Big donator to, they go on to mention it further down here, LGBTQ groups in the Milwaukee area. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. A lot of stuff seems to be going on there. Don't know why. But yeah, he's donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to big LGBT groups, this, that, and the next thing. Oh, and he got arrested for possession of child pornography. That's just a coincidence, that. And then here's another one from 2019, about the same drag queen story time. Turns out guy raped an 8-year-old. Like, I mean, I see this stuff. It makes me angry. I get it. But if you want to get rid of these people, you need to get rid of the organisation. You need to stop giving the organisation the perfect excuse to put these very people in front of your children.
It's step over it is the motto a lot of people try and have. And they seem incapable of doing it with this specific issue that blindsides them. It reminds me of anyone who has like a pet issue. It reminds me of like a lot of the liberal atheist stuff, where those people simply can't have a conversation with many people in our realms because they aren't willing to concede that they might have got stuff wrong about religion and religiosity, or at least just religious people. You see a lot of that with, you know, what is the rationalist, the anti-SJW community, all of that stuff, and that they have this blind spot issue in which they will not engage with certain people and they will not grow their understanding because they have this like rage pig button in which they have an issue that is a complete non-starter for them. They can't engage with it without becoming irrationally angry
because
and being unable to process it correctly.
Either for lack of the fact that they've not done the research, or as people are mentioned, you know, it's just too emotionally distressing for them, and they can't think about it in a way that's gonna combat it. You know, as we say in the title, you know, how to effectively combat activists, and that's, you know, it's part of the point. I mean, I wholeheartedly understand why people get so angry about it, and that one day people will have an opportunity to exercise that anger. But if you want that opportunity, there's got to be a lot of pre-work done and beforehand so that you don't just have another Patriot Front incident where you then give them a greater excuse. I mean, you look at the actual organisation itself, Drag Queen Story Hour, as it's referred to. It's got some 50-odd chapters, both in the States and in a number separated across in the UK and some in European countries and wherever else. But, you know, it's one of those ones as well. It's kind of funny. People always pick on you for saying that America is the source of like pause, but they've been doing that Drag Queen Story Hour stuff in America since 2015. They only incorporated a company over here to do it first off in 2020 in Wales, and then they only ever used that company to do two events. So Company's House now has a second entry set up by a person that when I looked for them, I couldn't find, and has no entries for payments whatsoever. So the whole thing is partially just possibly a big tax scam, you know, and
as it always is.
No, but it's something that is not quite as common over here yet to the point where we can tell you how to combat it in Britain. I don't think quite yet, but
it's very scant in Britain. It hasn't really popped up very many places.
From what I have looked at in America, there is a big organization made of these people who are all involved in this stuff. They have names and addresses, of course. But I think more importantly, people need to look at it, like, where's that Rakita Law dude? You know, where is he to go and set up some big class action lawsuit against the parents of children that have been at these events,
That
or
have been exposed to sex offenders, yes.
yeah, I mean,
That is an actual avenue that people could use to materially combat this,
well, you're
is
also
it.
directly sexualizing these children. I mean, all of the content and both the music, the sort of clothing that's been worn, the provocative dance moves. I mean, surely someone could take this to a court and set some kind of precedent. So even if in a local court,
Especially in a more friend, a more friendly state, let's say. I mean, I know people go on about Florida, and there are legal routes and school board routes that we'll talk about, maybe touch on a little bit. But unfortunately, as a lot of people have pointed out with the Ron DeSantis stuff, with a lot of these laws, you end up just codifying an age at which people can be taught this. As we semi-joked about,
Well,
the age
see,
at which you can indoctrinate children is restricted to 10 in Florida, and that's supposed to be a win. You must be this tall to get
yeah,
indoctrinated.
you must be this tall to be fiddled.
It's
But no, because I mean, there is, we shouldn't sort of misunderstand what we are up against here either. I mean, when it comes to specifically the drag queen story hour organization out of the States, it is centered in San Francisco. And its biggest funder is the Zeller-backed Family Foundation, which donates large amounts of sums to the Radar Media Group or something along the lines of that.
Yes.
Oh, look, they just happen to manage $160 million, by the way. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So there's, it's not like it's, mom and pop's weird PR organization. It's not just a couple of like scattered pedophiles trying to turn it into like a way to abuse children, as much as people are taking advantage of it to do that. But you've got to come at it from both elements, and you've got to tie the two of them together. I mean, what someone really needs to do is we need some people who are not associated with Veritas or any weird organizations that we can't possibly trust because it's tied up in the dialectic process, to basically go and snoop on these people, go find out what they're doing, essentially go and find the evidence to tie it all together as either, pedophile ring or an exploitation ring, or because the physical organization exists, and as we'll see, not just from this, but there is more funders. There is a lot more, as you say sometimes, there is a lot more involved in making a sausage than just some weirdo puts on like a fancy dress and then stands in a library. There is planning behind this. There is thought put into it. There is literature
Sorry,
that is developed for it and all sorts.
Anthony Zellerbach, the Jewish paper king of the American Wild West.
Yes. It is a large media organization too.
Dear me. Yeah, the Zellerbach Foundation probably has a lot of different like celebrities or politicians or other foundations that feed into it. As we'll get into later, a lot of this is very, very circular. None of these people actually have any money in a concrete sense. They have maybe, like you said, 160 million in trust funds. They have a lot of donations. They have a, but most of what happens is you get a money circle between think tanks, NGOs, and especially governments. And most of this money is actually coming from central governments, supranational organizations, or foundations that are used as intermediary steps between them. This is a diagram that I made very quickly. It looks a bit basic, but I will explain it in more in full when we get to the end. But what we see here with NGOs and charities is that you have a cycle there, where they go back and forth between governments, supranational organizations, NGOs and charities, and then they're able to dictate policy to local government and government agencies. And you'll find that most of these people stay in their strata. A
Well,
big
see,
thing I want people to keep in mind is that the arrows don't go both ways in many places for a reason.
Well, I would actually say there is possibly a circle that could be drawn from NGOs to activists to bureaucrats and technocrats to local and government agencies. If only you put a little bubble down here that's connected to activists that says the security state, so that you have activists both of left and right. Because I mean, like. And people can go and dig into this stuff, but future stuff about LGBT policy or whatever will be justified by the slow media creep and building narrative, all these different,
It will be,
Patriot
yes, but
Front protests or Proud
that
Boys
is
or.
dictated, and what I want to show here is that is dictated by the NGO. The activists really have no say in it. They are simply an arm, they are simply a tool. So really what the activists are doing is coming from the NGO or the charity, which in turn is being fed by usually by a supranational organization. A lot of the agenda for this and a lot of the people involved in this will be like porous with things like diplomat corps. You find that a lot. Or it's porous with Washington or porous with any other kind of these amorphous planning quango or NGO organizations where all these where the managerial class float between. You have these ostensibly faceless managers, you know. If you look at the About Us section, you've got Susan Au, who is some Chinese chief financial officer. You've got like two white women, or well, three white women, and two inoffensive looking men. And that's how they get past it, is they have this, you know, you're meant to go out there and get mad at the drag queen, but the person who is sending them there, the person who is in charge of the purse strings and the people who are putting pedophiles in contact with children are these people. And by not focusing on these people and by focusing on essentially sometimes two layers beneath them, you miss the problem. Because if you were to say, like you talked about a legal action, if you were to say contact or have a media, a counter media campaign talking about, say, the Zilberberg Foundation and saying that this foundation is directly funding the contacts of between pedophiles and children, they might have to act or say something, because they, as insulated as they are from power, these organizations tend to be sacrificed on a semi-regular basis. As almost happened, as we'll get to later, they didn't do it fully, but one of the organizations that has been effectively combated in many ways in the UK is actually Mermaids. Because rather than just their activists, what happened is that them as an organization became too front and center, and people were able to realize that that's where the sausage was getting made, that's where the policy cycle
People
was.
essentially cut, that you can either destroy these elements or you can cut the ties between them. As you're saying here with Mermaids, it had its positive media spin cut away from it. It had probably some of its funding cut away from it, and the blind eye of legal exceptions was, no longer turned away and sort of very, very innately focused in on it to stop it going too far and sort of saying the quiet part out loud in a lot of ways.
Well, a lot of people talk in the chat very rightly about the fact that NGOs are a big money cycle. They all cycle money between each other, and it's very, very hard sometimes to tell where the money is actually coming from. Deliberately, they're playing a shell game there. Goshnark in the chat very helpfully pointed out to people, yeah, Quango is like a UK term. It stands for quasi non-governmental organization, which basically is a way of saying directly government-linked NGO in many cases. That's where the quasi comes from. They use them for information and essentially money laundering, where they will cite them as an independent body that has inspired policy, but really they are just another arm of the government. And again, this what I'm trying to get forward to people is that the LGBT situation is treated as unique when it is not unique. This is how the sausage gets made in all the cases. This is how the climate change stuff gets done. This is how the racial stuff gets done. This is how, in many ways, the kind of like anti-far leftist activist front stuff gets done. There is not like spontaneous terrorist cells forming out there, like someone like Andy Ngo would imply. I actually have kind of a dim view a lot of that agitation, in that they almost purposefully misunderstand the scale and influence of the frontline activists and the nature of their activism. In that they are simply often hired and told what to do, to the point that they will hire homeless people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's that, I think it's such a great section. I hope it's something people understand when I'm referencing it, but that point in hyper-normalization where he's talking about Putin and anarchist groups, fascist groups, gay groups, Christian groups, Muslim groups, Jewish groups. You know, they just fire all these different activist groups out in the middle of nowhere, give them all sorts of radical materials to go and distribute, and then basically set them all against one each other. It's
It's a
basically
playbook, yeah.
the same thing as now, you know, essentially writ large, both in large parts of American and British activists or political scenes, and maybe not in the sense that all the groups are coordinated or originated from one of these upper elements, but very quickly, either the entire organization or people who are key to running the organization become co-opted by this sort of process. I mean, you have to, otherwise your organization doesn't exist. It doesn't get the funding it needs, and it doesn't get its ability to grow past anything other than just a collated group of people. It gets no special legal characteristics to it.
No, and again, by attacking the bottom layer of this process, and by going for what are very deliberately the public-facing parts of this cycle, you are essentially attacking the layer with the least power, apart from the general public. And you'll even like the problem we find is that you'll even just get groups attacking parts of the general public who aren't involved in any of this. They have extremely misplaced anger towards what are essentially normal, well, normal people who have no political interest in the LGBT movement. And they'll just say, well, I don't brook with any of this. If you have any of these identities that are being pushed forward by these groups, if you are a member of any of these groups that have been adopted by them, you are our enemy. And you are buying into their dialectic by saying that they own large sections of the population who they're deliberately trying to expand and convince people and widen the definitions of, so they can do this, so they can have these groups that are attacking, the demand for transphobia is much higher than the supply of transphobia, but oh boy, are some people trying, it seems. Like there's a lot of genuine, baffling anger at the mere existence, which is, even at a tactical level, incredibly counterproductive. You have a right to be angry and disgusted by this stuff, but simply saying that it is the fault of the ground level, even the non-politically engaged element, is to completely misunderstand how the process works and to turn it on its head. And it's like they haven't learned the lesson from the elite theory stuff that none of these movements are genuine. It's really is buying into the civil rights aspect of it. And it's the same cycle. This set cycle was used during the civil rights era. This is the same thing that was used in the 1960s. This is the same thing that was used in the 1970s for a lot of the women's movement stuff. This is a very tried and true process. And again, people
Oh, I
treating
actually
it.
have a little thing here. I believe this is something A had posted on his Telegram the other day, and it's a little section from the it's that Scott Howard book, Transgender Industrial Complex or whatever. But you know that anonymous funders total $90 million, and I believe this is over the full 40-year period, 1970 to 2010. This is the top donors to LGBTQs by dollar amounts. Arcus Foundation, $77 million. Jill Foundation, $66 million. I hate that this is someone called Evelyn. Evelyn and Walter Haas Jr. Fund, $46 million. Ford Foundation. You know, it's, people haven't spent all this money lobbying and creating these media sort of both media outlets and media figures, all because that's all that they care about. You know, all this money sloshing around, not just for that use. Because if it was just all sloshing around to make LGBTQism or whatever you want to call it look popular in public, they would have never needed that much money, and the
Let's
situation wouldn't be what it is now. Because they would just not talk about it. I mean,
for a second assume as well that the 19 million is genuine ground level donors. That is wiped out by the next two combined, by the to the tune of about Like 40 million there. You have almost 50% again by the two biggest foundations that is all anonymous funders. And even then, you can't rely on the anonymous funding truly being from individuals who are interested because it's anonymous funding. We have no idea. The best we can say is we have no idea where it came from. But you see how charitable donations, in quotes, are dwarfed by the NGO interest. This is where the money comes from. And rather than targeting the group itself, what you do is you have to target these foundations, these funders. They have managers, they have boards, they have, ethics boards and legal departments. They have charitable statuses to worry about. They are quite often precarious legal entities by the fact that they are essentially laundering money. That's what NGOs and charities do. That is their main purpose. And if you can show that they've gone outside their remit and are a political organization when they're not registered to be one, they are going against their charter, they are misusing the funds as given by whatever trust fund they have, you can harm them. A lot of these organizations do not expect to be put under the microscope in the abstract because they have these layers beneath them. That's supposed to be their protection. Their protection's supposed to be the obfuscation there. You've not.
Someone's saying in chat here, don't forget about all the money they make by selling their diversity training courses to employers. Yes, but
Yes.
those employers are given grants to buy those courses because it's not about whether or not you can afford to take up that course as an organization. It's just about whether or not you do. As I'm saying, the more important part here is that, that all the money sloshing around is a handy thing, and there's a few people probably making a fair few quid out of it, but there is a massive sort of machine here that's operating that's made out of different PR organizations, it's made out of
Yeah.
HR organizations, it's think tanks, and it's
I
making
know
sure that
ex.
you are compliant with political diktat, that you are willing to repeat a political formula, no matter what the formula says. It's just that you will repeat it.
The, like you said, it's a very salient point that these people are often being given these things for free. The funding itself, the course will be paid for either by the government or by another NGO. It's very, very rare, apart from having, diversity and inclusion officers, which really are have been these firms preparing for the non-financial disclosure, the ESG score process for the last 10 years, because they've known large organizations have known this is coming, so they've trying to got out ahead of it, and we see that that is a diktat from central government. There is no natural market for any of this. And again, people thinking about the diversity industry are slightly missing the point.
Well,
It
I was going to say there's also a further thing here to look at the conservative response to this stuff about it being a slippery slope. It is a slippery slope, but it's only because it's lubricated with several billion dollars of PR time. If anything, I prefer to think of it as the thin end of the wedge because the wedge assumes that someone's pushing it.
There's the big thing that should be hammered home by the diagram I put on screen earlier is that this is an abstract process of political dialectic making. It is not something specific to the gays. The power structure doesn't actually care about the fate of quote unquote LGBT people. It never has and it never will. It sees them as useful. It stocked large parts of the bureaucracy, both Britain and America, with homosexuals because they are seen as easy to control and blackmail, or at least they were at the time. And they are also seen as people who have certain, they're more likely to have certain psychological problems. They're vulnerable, and that's why the power structure likes having them around. They are, by definition, not in power. They are, by definition, generally considered the useful idiots, the upper stretch of the power structure. They hate them and have contempt for them, possibly more than you do, and possibly more than a lot of people do. They see them as essentially the rainbow chattel. And so to scream at the average gay person, even if you disagree with who they are and what they do, is to once again just play into what they want. You are not doing anything apart from making yourself feel better in that case. And like we talked about during the stream about the third gender stuff, you're also shouting at people who are ostensibly victims of the modern world in many ways. You're not solving anything. You're not doing anything. You are simply being angry.
Well, I mean that it's just kind of it's so easy to go and look. I mean, we had a cursory glance through some stuff over the last couple of days and put it together that this is some Cheshire and Chester event. Yeah, but Drag Queen Story or a UK blah 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 project is receiving £300,000 of funding from the England European Regional Development Fund as part of the European Structural and Investment Funds Growth Programme 2014 to 2020. So,
Yes.
well in a post Brexit age, you have got I've got the well the actual European Social Fund, policy that was probably written up in 2012, 2013 has been used to fund this stuff because as has been for a long time now, if you really want to go and look at it, anything that's really involved in a government grant or investment or like youth employment initiative, as they call it here, other things, will always carry with it the baggage of political correctness, of HR compliance, of I think this one literally has in it a section that talks about diversity, the DEI, diversity, equality, and inclusion stuff. Inclusive labour
Yes.
markets, which define activities to address employment and social conclusion or social inclusion issues. Did you?
It's a great ex worked example for people. I know most people are on board with this, of what happens when you give any kind of government entity funding to, say, recover from the pandemic. Or to promote growth and skills. That's how this was originally written. The law will have been passed and the funding will have secured, if you read the first lines of it, under the auspices of having more full employment, having more skills. And what happens is they take the money and they do what they please with it, and they put them into all of these strange
There is.
niche agitation and propaganda
They've already
programs.
gone and. I mean, your second bullet point here is a social sort of sciences or dissertation that is still yet to be proved. Social inclusion, 20 million less people across the EU should be at risk of poverty, which is them, that's your full idea of the environmentalist and the therapeutic idea of, these people are poor because they're not included because there is some element of social disinclusion or whatever the word is that means these people aren't involved, so you've got to fix it. And fixing it means, all sorts of silly stuff from HR law to bizarre funding of like local LGBTQ specific sexual health clinics because on some strange massive econometric graph they have decided that if you treat 40 times more STDs in a country a year, then that must mean that the productivity goes up 8%. It's just nonsense.
The word inclusion is used 44 times in this document. I just checked it. But this is ostensibly a program that's meant to directly promote economic growth. And you've ended up with, 300, what do you say, £330,000 of it being put into Drag Queen Storytime. That's how you go from things that are ostensibly neutral, your neutral government programs, to this stuff. There is a direct line between it. There isn't even a filter there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The fact that this is a, to state that poverty is a consequence of a lack of social inclusion is an ideological statement. It's an inherently political one that comes from years and years of false social science studies, and it's just being presented to you here as like raw fact.
That's the way, like I said, that accepting that premise is the way you go from developmental funding to sex offenders reading to children. because that is inclusive in quotes and it's ill-defined.
The other one here that you got, is this about the housing one in Manchester?
Well, here's something from Manchester Council. And I wanted to give a worked example and a bunch of worked examples, actually, of the cycle, of the circular money, of the fact that all of this is coming from the same place, going to the same place, and cycling back around. So the first step we have here is an announcement for the 25th of March, 2021, from the Manchester Council, the government body. This is a .gov.uk address. UK's first purpose-built LGBT plus care, extra care housing facility in Manchester moves forward. Proposals to deliver the UK's first purpose-built, co-produced. Keep that in mind. It's a public-private partnership. LGBT plus older persons housing scheme, because they already have LGBT youth schemes. Are moving forward as Anchor Handover has been chosen as preferred partner to deliver the scheme. The innovative project will deliver more than 100 apartments, blah 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 blah, for people aged 55 or over. It's basically sheltered housing for gay boomers.
Oh, what?
Blah blah blah. They're talking about the specific offer at the Russell Road LGBT extra care. I did some digging, and this is being delivered by an NGO. I'll see if I can find it in here, but it's not actually mentioned in this document anywhere at all, but it's mentioned in the news stories about it. It's an NGO that has ostensibly been formed to create projects like this called For Viva. For Viva is who will be
So I'm
running
just
this
going,
development.
I'm having a little look through the article itself just to see if there's any other snippets. So what there could 730 care homes that I see in the lower part of that. That's a fair amount of money.
Yes.
But yes, as you said, it's For Viva. Strategies and reports. First thing that comes up, equality and diversity strategy, 2019 to 20.
Well, for those, just Anchor Hanover is basically a boilerplate semi-governmental organization, which is the biggest name in the care sector. It is just they are just a massive bulk government-assisted living provider. That's just who they are. But they are the ones who will be running the development, but the people who are building the development are these four Viva people. And if you look at their strategies and reports, you have their equality and diversity strategy, anti-bribery and corruption statement, health. This is basically everything. I just wanted to show this. This is very boilerplate, but that is what every company has to produce now. Every company has to have this on their website. This isn't unique to them. But the interesting part, when you four Viva
Oh
runs a
God,
project called four.
they've got their own
Well, for housing.
terrible graph.
Oh,
Their
whereabouts
terrible
is that?
infographic on the About Us section.
Oh dear.
Purpose: to improve lives. Vision: to make more things possible for more people.
That's again,
Very Faustian.
it's all very boilerplate though. All of this is incredibly general when you get to it. And it's incredibly, it's just again incredibly technocratic in many ways. This is that layer.
I know we're going to look at the for housing one in a section. Am I right in saying the group Liberty that is associated with these people though? That is the exact same group I believe that is campaigning to essentially abolish rent in the UK, or one of the groups
Yes.
pushing that kind of stuff.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
That is correct. That is, I believe that is the same one, yes. But if you go to their partnerships section, they say he is just a few of the partners we work with every day.
Well, what section is this
And
under?
it's partnerships. It's the second link in the document. It's the other document.
Ah, right,
It's for
cool.
the for housing
Yeah, right, the four housing
section.
one. So I'll grab that.
Yes. Because this is who will be running this specific LGBTQ elderly village, basically. If you look at who Four Housing clients are, their clients are Salford City Council, Cheshire West and Chester Council, Knowsley Council, Oldham Council, Homes England, Greater Manchester Combined Authority, GMHP, Chartered Institute of Housing, National Housing Federation, Cheshire Community Foundation, Fylde Council, Salford Royal, Salford NHS. They are exclusively either other quangos and NGOs or just directly local government. That's where this cycle comes from. This is not a third party. This is not a private development that is responding to market demand. The client base of
Well, it's
four
what
housing
it
is
is
exclusively local authorities.
it is also a massive manager of a quite a large stake of property by the sounds of it. We're a progressive landlord that owns and manages more than 240 or 240, sorry, 24,000 homes across the northwest. We also deliver housing management services for other landlords by investing in homes. So they manage 24,000, but they manage more than 24,000 through other services, which basically means
Yes.
we don't want to tell you how much property we manage, because if we did, you'd be scared.
This again, this is not a normal for-profit entity.
No.
This really is. It's like a
It's to hide
gay
the
landlord
fact that,
G4S.
yeah, it's to hide the fact that, you know, if you have a housing org for gay people, if you have a housing organization for homeless people, a housing organization for brown people, then all of these different groups don't realize that their homes are all owned by the one person.
Well, yeah, and they're all ostensibly owned by the government. This is where the whole thing about the reduction in social housing comes in. When we talk about the infinite council estate, it all cycles back in. This is how the sausage gets made. These are the groups that make the housing that the government rents off, that they put the vulnerable people in, that they use as council tenants but not council tenants, because these people are technically the landlord, but their only client is the council. And these are the private public private partnerships we've been banging on about for months. This is who they are. This is what they do, and this is how the agenda gets injected. This is how you end up with, gay grandpa buildings, because you have an entity that is completely government invested and has a whatever agenda that they want to push. There are dozens of these entities, and they control vast swathes of the supposedly private sector. And you start to see how much Herculean effort is put into maintaining all of this. This is not something that is like a natural state, as some people seem to consider it. This is not something that has sprung out of the ground because our society has too many fags in it.
Well,
That is a complete misreading of the situation.
one of the premier LGBTQ organizations globally, Stonewall, which
Yes.
has been working in the UK for decades. And yeah, you can scroll down there. We are immensely grateful to the trusts, foundations, and statutory funders who support us. Awards for All England, which, if I'm right in saying, is another basically quango funding group. Bank
Yeah.
of America Merrill Lynch. C.A. Rodwald Charitable Trust, Charles S. French Charitable Trust, Comedy or City Bridge Trust, Comic Relief,
Which is essentially a public entity.
Government Equalities Office, Goldman Sachs Gives, J.P. Jacobs, National Lottery, NHS Scotland, People's Postcode Fund, Santander Charitable Foundation, Scottish Government, Welsh Council,
Government. Which
Welsh
government?
Government.
Yeah. It's all banks and governments and whatever trust fund organizations that are run by other managerial people. It's all NGOs, charities, governments. There's no, they're not thanking their individual donors. Look
It's
at
not
who
like
they thank. Look at the ring that they kiss.
Stephen for the high street, or Michelle that lives on such and such a street. It's, as you said, it's faceless organizations, and even when they do have a face to them, they're inoffensive local NGOs, charity groups, or family trust funds that essentially act as like a legal intermediary between the actual money and the cause they want to support, so that there can be a middleman that falls if need be.
This all of this, as we saw with the book example you gave, will dwarf their charitable funding.
Oh no, exactly. I mean, can you imagine how even something like the Scottish or Welsh government could put up the sort of funding that something like Bank of America could put up? It's laughable.
It's It's all so tiresome.
However,
But
you can
yes.
beat these people. This is the one you've got. Outcome of a review in a Mermaids UK grant. Following public interest regarding the proposed grant to Mermaids, the National Lottery Community Fund undertook a review of number of concerns expressed in relation to the charity. The review did not find. Oh, I thought they did withhold
No, no, no,
funding.
no. What happened is they quietly stopped supporting them, though. This is
Right.
them trying to save face. But what happened is they never got another grant again.
That'll be why this is February 2019 and not
Yes.
February some other year.
No. They tried to save face. They tried to put a brave face in it. But just the fact that there had to be a review
Yeah,
was the killer
a
part of it.
40-page PDF.
I've not got into that yet, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds with it.
I'm just gonna have a quick look and see if anything sticks out. They've not even got like a proper chapter thing for this. The big lottery fund's role. Yeah, it suggested that sex and gender, the understandable there's real concern about young people doing something now that they will regret in the future. It's almost important to keep them safe during what must be a difficult and confusing time in their lives and to listen to their views. Most stakeholders in the area are interested in contributing towards a better understanding of gender. So, in order to this understand, listen to the. Ugh. It's very. They're trying very, very hard here to be like, well, this is the thing. This is the equality stuff. Blah, 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 blah. But also, like, we don't want to be seen to having anything to do whatsoever with. Yeah, they're going further on here to then talk about. Health of gender non-conforming people and all sorts of stuff. I'd imagine there's probably some interesting snippets in here if you were to dig through it properly.
Well, all of the big line charities, you'll have people like Oxfam that feed into things like that. We're doing the lottery fund here. Lottery funding is supposed to be for like redeveloping schools and
Yeah, here we
community
go.
centers.
Summary of concerns against mermaids. When this grant became known publicly, a critical article appeared in the national press on the 16th of December 2018. Has made several allegations and raised concerns about mermaid poaching practice. Over the course of the next week, the Big Lottery Fund received a high volume of correspondence raising similar concerns as well as presenting various arguments and evidence on the issue. Transgender support to children, young people, and their families, the correspondence received was both in support of and against the award grant. Yeah, this is almost kind of laid out a bit like a bloody court document.
Yes, it is.
I
Because the
wonder if you could possibly use this alongside with some other things to basically claim that people that are putting forward the LGBTQ propaganda are psychologically damaging children or something like that. Shouldn't be too hard to
like I
argue,
said,
surely.
they wouldn't admit it publicly, but Mermaids is a charity that became toxic. They have not been mentioned. You'll see the defense of them has disappeared.
Well, there was
And
also
the charity.
I remember we actually talked about it on Rose's stream many, many moons ago about
Yes.
the fact that mermaids alongside doctors from Tavistock were essentially taken to court because they attempted to treat people who would not meet the standard of what's referred to as Gaelic competent. Now,
Yes.
what I don't quite understand, and this is not me sitting here saying that this isn't real. Why aren't there cases about this in the US? I mean, lawyers really like making money, and they will make money out of any case, no matter whether they win or lose. And doubly so, they'll make a lot of money if they chip into something that is, big in the news, like this, for example. So why aren't there? I mean, I know there was that case of the guy in Texas who divorced his wife, and then his wife tried to transition her son or something like that. I don't.
Yes.
That story then basically dropped out of any sort of coverage whatsoever, so I'm not really sure what happened there, but is anything happening other than that? Because I'm not seeing it. I mean, if there were these, I'll quickly grab the document up just because I think it's funny. This is the Williams Institute, some gay fucking US think tank that seems to be the one that is accredited with this 58,000 transgender youths number that's been thrown around the media for the last few years. And every time you see the number, it's just referred to as the Institute found this. So you have to actually go and look for the stat itself to go and get this document. But, like, if there are these 58,000 transgender youths and they're all being taken advantage of, and if what Reddit's telling me is real, that all these people are then de-transing. Where are the lawsuits against these doctors?
It does seem to me that a lot of this stuff has been deliberately overstated and is being deliberately overpushed to get people angry about it. You would think that there would be a large amount of legal activity surrounding this because of how egregious it is. And we don't have a court system yet that is taken over enough, that is corrupted enough to basically disallow all of these from even taking place. There would be some lawsuits somewhere, and there are going to be at some point, I have no doubt, but this 58,000 number, I do not believe. And you shouldn't believe it either. It's like the 1 in 10 number
Oh no,
or the
sorry.
one in three number.
One in five Gen Z or LGBT, and no, it's one of those things. I still, I don't know. People just get annoyed at me when I bring it up, but I don't understand why there is any utility in believing or sharing that statistic whatsoever. I mean, do we not have the people that do big data and systems and model studies and stuff like that? Surely they can go pick this stuff apart in minutes. I mean, I even had a brief look through this, and there are points where they're just kind of like, well, we took a rough estimate of population of 13 to 17, and we took the national average of, what do they say? It's like 0.6% of people identify as trans or something. And then they extrapolate the numbers out from there. It's nonsense.
It is nonsense, but it is treated in our circles like it is genuine, and
Yes.
it is used as a way to whip people up into a frenzy without figuring out whether or not it is happening on any kind of scale. And if they discover that it is happening on some kind of scale, there are very possible legal routes to do something about it. Instead of getting mad on the internet or possibly being led by a federal informant into the back of a U-Haul.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying earlier on. Like that Rikita Law dude that made an absolute fortune, streaming the theater that was the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Like, why can't he go and take all that money and go do something about this? And it's I don't want to be. People keep, I think, taking words and placing them in our mouth as if we're saying none of this is real. I don't think either of us have said that at any point. It's just that people
No,
seem
it's
to
a.
treat this as one of the very few things that is real, and there is a very dangerous way in which things could go wrong if that's how you do treat it.
They're being led down a blind alley, and they're being essentially contained within their own little circle of, get angry at headline and prepare for next headline. And it's something that the solution to it is very, very seldom talked about, which is, well, you have these foundations that we talked about. You see all these XYZ dead rich person foundations. And a lot of the people who donate to these foundations will not know where their money is going. They'll be sold some bullshit about starving children in Africa. And you will get a percentage of donors, even though there is this government money cycle. You will get this percentage of private donors or, whale donors, more likely, that will see the negative PR, whether they agree with it or not, and they will steer clear of these issues. What you need to do is you need to make the issue legally and PR toxic for them in a constructive way. You put the onus on them. You have to put them on the back foot rather than simply publicly spurging out or trying to do these frontline protests. You have to go after where the money is.
Or that,
That is the f
or you go after the parents who are taking their children to them. And I don't mean like you stalk them. I mean, instead of going down there 30 men strong with riot gear, you and someone else go down looking respectable and you ask the people that are taking their kids there, do you feel proud about what you're doing? Are you happy to give us your name and address and let people know that this is where you took your children to today? Actually, like, psychologically attack the people that are taking their children there. That seems to me like a much more effective way, because those are the problem. I mean, as you said before, to some extent, the number of gay people, the number of people who want to be drag queens, whatever else, will exist in some small number, and that varies by a very small percent. If what the left and right say about this being used as a way to form children's sexuality is true, then should we not be going after the parents who are taking their children to these things? I
I
mean,
think a more likely aspect of it is a lot of those people who are very out with it at taking their children to these events are the activists themselves.
yes, of
What
course.
the bigger thing is a lot of parents will not know that their children are being taken to these things because a lot of them are taken by community groups, activist groups, by what is essentially farmed out daycare or like fake youth groups. Most of the people who would take their children to an event like this, I think, are too far gone to respond to an argument like that. But a lot of
Well,
them who
see,
go to these events,
that is
their
another
parents
point.
do not know what's happening.
That is another point I've tried to make to people as well. You know, the sort of people who are genuinely going out to trans their kids are not the sort of people that were, one, ever going to agree with us, two, neither were their kids at any point, really, let's be honest. So,
No.
and to a certain extent, you know, like people want to, they want to turn it into something that people should be shamed for, and yet when it does happen to kids of even their enemies, all of a sudden they find some weird empathy to have about the situation, because ultimately it's political. It's not about empathy, it's not about principle, it's just about, you know, society's told me that these people should be my enemies, so I'm going to be annoyed at them.
That's what it is. It is a controlled response to propaganda. Let me get it up because I'm just gonna end up repeating myself through all of this. Because I theory wise, what this is you've talked about it quite a bit. I know you've been reading Ahlul and stuff with the propaganda stuff, but this is just like the activism cycle and the news cycle. And there's a little section here from my Substack article in the general chat. See if that'll actually post. There's a section here that talks about the fact that it's just the end here. It says the last paragraph. Those in power don't parade out an 8-year-old in drag because they genuinely believe in the virtues of drag artistry to change the world. They do it as an act of ritual humiliation and transgressive power demonstration. They do it to whip up the professional activist class and create a debate in which we compromise on just a little pedophilia. Ultimately, they do it because they want to demonstrate they can, and to waste your time engaging in good faith arguments with dishonest people who would say or do anything to make you out to be the monster, because the uncomfortable answer is that nothing changes until there is a vast overcorrection in regards to the power structure, a line of thinking not permissible in any kind of legitimate activism, and one that will eventually result in the kind of fate that befell 20 Branch Davidian children. I don't think that's. I know a lot of people accuse it of being black pill, but ultimately you have to realize that this is not a cause, it's a symptom. And there are concrete ways you can combat it, and you can do it in like the guerrilla style legalism stuff, the naming and shaming of these large, ostensibly neutral organizations. You pull the money people, you pull the X Foundation and the Y Grant Board into the light, and you ask them the uncomfortable questions. And the thing is, you have to do all these things. You have to go after the Like you said, you have to name and shame, and you have to go after where the money is, the supranational organizations. You have to probe the layer of where the money is, the layer of where the power is, until you can find some kind of weakness. It hasn't been done. There hasn't been, there's a lot of people who talk about the fact that the fact that consumer revolts don't work, and they don't work. They're not an answer on their own, but creating a whole bunch of noise and getting the people in power to expend energy on the back foot. There is no or very little tactical engagement with how we put them on the defensive.
Combat smarter, not combat harder.
Yes. There is the short answer to effectively combating activists is to essentially Karen them and go to the manager and go to where the money is. The activists are paid actors most of the time. If you attack their purse strings, you attack their funding, and if you attack the overarching structure above them, they cease to be. You do not have to engage with the
Well,
activists.
you know for a fact as well, if you try to take one of these individual figures or individual activists or individual sort of performers that they have for these events to court, there would be an open society style law NGO that would back them with millions of dollars of funding. Because,
Yes.
I mean, this is one way I think that we should maybe talk more about in future as well. You know, I'll put the graph back up because maybe it's handy sort of context. But they need to use this big network because ultimately this big network has to spin so many plates. It has to spin the plate of democracy. It has to spin the plate of multiculturalism. It has to spin the plate of LGBT issues. And the reason why they go all in, just to defend small amounts of it sometimes, is because if we knock one of those plates off, the rest become very questionable, especially in the eyes of the public. You know, once one pillar that the regime, you know, places itself upon comes under it, it's only a matter of time until the thing comes out under its own weight, or you just start to pick apart the rest of the pillars before they can rebuild, you know, the one that you took apart. And it doesn't even have to be that you actually put the organization fully out of business or that anyone that gets arrested. You just have to have them admit on the media for a few days in a row that X, Y, or Z organization is not full of paedophiles, we promise, even though there's three or four people that have been arrested from are actually paedophiles. Once, you know, once
Yes.
20, 30% of the population sees that repeatedly, not necessarily that they're then convinced, they're red-pilled, but they're lost on it. And they're no longer convinced. So they have all the scope to now question the rest of the thing.
I know we talk about the way that left of activists and the leftist power structure in general plays the game, but there are all you have to do is kick up enough dirt that people are naturally distrusting of these organizations, and you have to repeatedly, in some way, shape, or form, break into the information cycle and, in a very focused way, have a very focused point and say, this isn't real. Money is being injected to this by shadowy interests. And by the way, they're not shadowy interests, they're the XYZ Foundation. And they have done, you know, ABC in the past, and these are terrible people, you know. These are, you know, people who have contributed this and said that and done that, and you start to attack the what is supposed to be a neutral organization, and you drag them into admitting a position of non-neutrality. And that, in the eyes of many of their stakeholders, will damage them. Because they are only able to keep the shell game going as long as they look like these benevolent charitable actors. And it won't destroy them, like you said, but you have to attack them all the time on all fronts that are useful. But a front that is not useful is simply, you know, shouting at the rainbow sock puppet they are dancing in front of you. Like I said, I doubt that a lot of people who are involved in some of the fundraising activities for these foundations will know that their money is being used for the child drag artist stuff.
No.
And there will be a lot of very old, you know, essentially self-backpatters who will want to avoid any kind of
See, I
politically.
will say there is one problem there though. That once you really start to get into the nitty-gritty of dealing with this stuff, as you then start to reach the likes of pension funds who are using
Yes.
this process to slosh money around and, you know, not have to pay someone to hold it basically. And
Or
that
they're
then the
doing it to up
boomers,
their.
get very angry if you start attacking their pension funds. But, you know, I'm happy to have it happen. It's just, you know, as I said, we just need to be more clever when we think about how we're going to combat these things. And I don't see anyone else really that sat down and even just thought or asked the questions or just has discussed this in the way that we are trying to look at it now, which is, how do you actually deal with these people on like a lawfare front where it matters a lot more than just turning up and getting yourself arrested. I mean, even
It's
like,
much, it's a much.
think of those
Sorry, go
40
on.
odd folk or 30 odd folk or however many it was that got arrested at that event. Their names have just been leaked, their addresses have been leaked, where their place of work has probably been notified of what's gone on. So, you know, as those 30, 40 people existed as organized actors within a political entity, they are wasted now because there's no element of surprise.
Yes, the thing is, if these people had been engaged in a class action lawsuit against some arm of the Open Foundation Society in which they were alleging that a pedophile had deliberately been placed in front of their children, this wouldn't be happening.
No.
Those people could have all pulled some money together and hired a lawyer and done something like that. Even if it gets rejected outright, what you do is you put it in the news cycle. You get the talking heads to circle jerk about it. Even if the lawsuit itself isn't worth the paper it's written on,
Well,
it's still a headline saying X NGO, X Soros funded NGO accused of deliberately placing pedophiles with children.
or you go to somewhere like, you know, even the case of the UK, something like Chester Council, and
Yeah.
you essentially force them to engage in a sort of disclosure agreement about all of it. You know, who's involved in this stuff? You know, a
Yeah,
sort of
freedom of
free.
information requests are your friend, and this is the boring stuff that no one wants to do, and this is again what the left do in spades very actively. You take freedom of information requests and you figure out, because all these charities have to have public books and they have to have public stakeholders, and you start collecting the information. We can't give you specifics and say, go do this, go campaign on this. We can't start like a specific campaign because we don't have that
I
information.
mean, you can do the even more simpler option, which is knock up a WordPress site that looks like it's some form of semi-professional media outlet, stick some stuff at the bottom of it to make it look like some NGO or think tank supports you, and then you write an article about disgrace as such and such a council or such and such a PR organisation puts on Drag Queen Story Hour. Then you email that story to the organisation that's put this event on, and you tell them, we have direct contact from some of your biggest funders and backers, and they request that you comment about this because that'll get them
Oh,
moving.
yeah, even better when you've had these incidents where you've had sex offenders involved in this, you figure out who was funding the event. You figure out whose parents were at the event. You go around, you contact the parents and say, are you aware that your child was put in a room with a pedophile? And are you aware that this organization is the ones that paid for it without doing a background check? How do you feel about that? Would you be interested in monetary compensation for this trauma? It's so simple, but it isn't being done. And you think it would be? I don't think it's even being tried, is the depressing part. There isn't an organization out there that is fighting smart in this way. They're all either waiting for a DeSantis figure to do it for them, or they're tilting at the rainbows. They're impotently getting mad and screaming at people for being degenerates and talking about the general degeneration of society, rather than understand that this is something that is being actively done and takes billions and billions, possibly trillions of dollars to maintain.
Well, I mean,
And that
there is not even just that. There is the fact that when it does come to thinking about it and not using just state power, people are not willing to be Machiavellians. And I can understand why. And I can understand that, you know, there needs to be further development of how you would approach something like this from a Machiavellian angle. But I don't see why, even just as a starting point for a thought experiment, you know, what if you set up a fake NGO that was about caring for LGBT youth, and your whole argument was Drag Queen Story Hour is actually exploiting LGBT youth. So not only are you talking about the issue of child exploitation, but you've couched it in the moral language that they are already used to hearing, and the stuff that they know works when it comes to, you know, getting blackballed in the media. And what
yes.
happens there is that not only is your own little secret underground right-wing information organization attacking these people, you can also make stories that lefties might pick up on, and they'll do it for you.
Yes. You can start pointing out the whole Bank of America Merrill Lynch thing, and talk about the fact that, hey, did you know that all these events are actually capitalist fronts for laundering the reputation of Bank of America? It's the corporations that are pride thing, which I think is something that people should have heavily got on board with. With as in a Machiavellian way, the whole police out of pride, government bodies out of pride, corporations out of pride, get your money out of our pride. It's where it's something that has actually died down now. It's something you don't see anymore. The debate around the commercialization of LGBT identity has disappeared. It has become just part of the background noise that we have these massive corporate sponsored pride events. But I think it was put on a kibosh because it genuinely started threatening their interests, and these people were going to self-immolate in some ways. And if you put it back to an actual quote unquote grassroots level, this stuff diminishes very heavily because there's not many people who take an active interest in it.
I'm not really sure. I think we've got through most of the links we've got there. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else we can tack on to what we've discussed here. I think it's a very succinct discussion. I would rather not ramble on about something that people don't like that we ramble about. So
No. I will just once again say that people need to be mindful of, again, we both of us have been essentially snapped at by people for trying to remind them not to touch the poo, and that they shouldn't just be sharing naked rage bait in a 2015 style pundit way. It's it. The mood of a lot of what is shared is very look at what the feminists are doing now.
Well, all I'm saying is the people who want to make media items about trans ideology being good, and a lot of the people who want to make media items about trans ideology bad are both Jewish. That's all I'm saying.
It's again, yes, it feels like two arms of the. It's two arms of the same entity fighting itself in many ways. You've got like the Cato Institute style people and the Ben Shapiro, Israel is my greatest ally conservatives, who are fighting with the activist class and having a genuine, in quotes, marketplace of ideas debate about the drag shows and trying to find some rational common ground there. Rather than acting a Machiavellian way, setting up NGOs that use their own language and trying to actually make it eat itself.
Well,
Because.
here's the thing I think as well that people always fall for, and it should be obvious from the way that we're talking about it here, that the arguments they were put in media from the 70s onward didn't convince people really of anything. I mean,
No.
I don't think opinions have changed that much. I sat and read that Larry Schwab book about the failure of the Reagan Revolution, and according to that book, something like 65% of all people who donated to the GOP were happy for child sex education to carry on throughout the 80s. So, in the grand scheme of things, stuff really hasn't changed that much. It's just that the messaging on the media has become more and more full on because it's matching the legal structure that's been developed behind it for years and years that's actually engaging in change. The building of these organizations and these networks as the thing that has functionally changed. But whether or not, if you want to look, your issue is demographics or, positive masculinity or, whatever one of these things are that you're interested in, fair enough, there are elements of the relationships there that have changed. But, the thing that you're really dealing with is this. And I think that's why people get hung up on, having this really weird, I mean, we talked about victim narrative stuff before, and some of it does relate to that. But people that they go and make the empirical case for heterosexuality as if it needs to be made. I mean, it's so strange to me that one, people feel the need to do that, and two, that they think it would work.
It's a very, very backwards thing to engage in. Of course, normal is normal. Again, it's something you need to step over and just the takeaway from this really should be that your thinking should always stem from the fact that what is being put forward by our enemies deliberately to agitate us is not genuine. You shouldn't take it at face value, and whether it is true or not, you should at least investigate and validate it, because it is being put forward to you and served to you and appeals to your biases for a very particular reason. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all we have to say today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I hope people take what we have looked at here and go and think about it a little more. And if you happen to know someone that is genuinely like a lawyer or is connected to any sort of law society or anything, tell them to just go and have a look at this stuff, because I mean it's a horrible way to think about it, but lawyers like money, and that's why I said it earlier on. If there is, a handful of lawyers out there that believe there is, both single and large class action lawsuits that could be made against these massive NGOs that have millions of pounds and millions of dollars to throw around, people will take them to court. So I mean, it's not quite a matter of time, but it's a matter of getting this idea of thinking about sort of political lawfare more further spread.
Yes, and it's like I said, it might not be successful on its own, but it is at least an aspect that is worth trying, and it has a higher chance of success than simply getting mad at articles on the internet. Anyway, is there anything we have to shill?
Other than, I don't know, I suppose if we once again shill the cathedral event we'll be going to
Yes.
tomorrow.
I'm gonna say we are. If you guys are based in London, there is an event going on in Soho called the Cathedral. I don't have the link to hand, I'm afraid, right now. But I think we linked it in our previous video.
Yes.
And I did send out a message to the Nomos mailing group. So if you want to be kept up to date for real life events, both from us and other people, there's a link down below to the Nomos website, and you can sign up to our mailing list there.
I said, oh, pardon me while I yawn, sorry. I know I've said it a couple of times, but I think we should hopefully have some more information to share on the next Nomos event, at least in the next week or two, I would really hope.
Yes, we do. I need to go through some of that stuff with you, but yeah, I finally had some responses back from a few people.
That's good.
I was hoping to have more out by now, but a couple of people have been a bit slower getting back to me. Everything's again a bit in flux right now, but we will hopefully have an announcement for our next real life event in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I have no idea whatsoever to do with the stream on Monday, and I'm going to spend the weekend far away from computers and all sorts of stuff anyway, so there probably won't be one on Monday, and
Unless something really, really tickles their fancy, but I imagine we won't have
that would
time.
probably get done on Thursday anyway, really.
Yes.
Gives us enough time to actually look through it properly and not just jump on an issue the day it comes out and miss all
It's
the
what we
good stuff.
that's exactly what we didn't want to do, yeah. Rushed punditry, not even rank punditry. It's what we don't want. Thank you for tuning in, guys.
Yes, thank you very much.
I apologize if this has been a bit of a slightly repetitive stream in certain ways, but there's a point we really wanted to hammer home here, and it's something that people have been quite bad at doing. But yeah, but just be work smart, not hard. Work again, work smart, not just don't get angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry at this, but simply being angry is not a solution. And I wish more people would be open to even just that point. And it's been disappointing the amount of people I've seen that simply are not. But again, I'll stop moaning, because we have at least tried to map out organizational structures and been, I think, relatively productive in our line of reasoning in this stream. So I'll say thank you for watching and good night.
Good night.
Oh, I'm getting very